Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
I'm just looking. I'm not the head of all this. And unless you've ever been up here, you don't know the pressure of y'all's looks. And sometimes that can make us just continue on when he never said continue on. We want to be led by him, amen? Because that's really all that matters. That's all that's going to mean anything. That's all that's going to make the difference. Because I'm not the one we need to be listening to. I'm not the one we need to hear from. Glory to God. I think I have a title this morning. The Mystery of the Church. Glory to God. Let me see here. I think I want to go to Isaiah 60. Yeah. Listen, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you don't pray in other tongues, you need to be asking the Lord for it. In the day and hour that we live in, we need every available thing that God has given to us. And the Bible says that when a man, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 14, that when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he don't speak unto man, but he speaks unto God. And howbeit he speaks mysteries. And that he edifies himself, he builds himself up. And he knows in the day and hour we live in, we better be built up. We need to be full of oil. I know Isaiah's in here. So if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and don't pray in other tongues, just ask him. And he's received by faith, and he will come in. Now, there is, let me say this first. Some people know, some people don't know. I know most of you here know, we've been over it before. When we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. But now there's gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible talks about the gift of healings, right? It talks about the gift of speaking in other tongues. And that one there, what he's talking about there, is not the one that I just said. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues is for every born-again believer. That's found over there in Acts chapter 2. Y'all remember it's called the day of Pentecost when they was in one mind, one accord, in one place. Jesus told them, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem till what? You be endued with power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the Bible says whenever they was there, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost fell upon each one of them. And each one with cloven tongues of fire, and each one of them began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that right there is for every born-again believer. Every born-again person should have that. Now, what I'm talking about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's a gift. And how many knows, every gift is not for you, it's for the body. It's for the building up, for the body of Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about speaking in other tongues. Well, he's talking about in a church service like this, where someone would get the microphone or stand up in the service or whatever and give out a message to the body in other tongues, and that has to have an interpretation. See, a lot of times the body has got that messed up, so therefore there's no praying or speaking in other tongues. And that's not right. That's not good. That's exactly what the devil would want. So when I'm up here and I'm speaking in tongues or anything like that, I'm just going to let it rip, Tater Chip, because I'm telling you, we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our services. And I don't always know, but how many know sometimes when you pray in other tongues, things comes out of your spirit and it gets revealed to your head. So that you get understanding. But when we're in a church service like this and someone stands up and they give out a message in tongues or like that, then that has to have an interpretation or we would be out of order to do so. But now every one of us in here just speaking in other tongues, talking to God, praying, that does not need an interpretation. You are speaking directly to God according to Scripture. And the Bible says, howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries. Let me say this. There's this doctrine out there, and it's a doctrine of demons, actually. that God is a mysterious God. You don't know the Bible. God has mysteries. God does things 101 different ways that we never even thought of. Why? He's higher than us. His thoughts, His ways. But yet at the same time, do you realize this whole book is a book of God's thoughts and a book of God's words and a book of God's ways? And He tells us to renew our mind, think like He thinks. Then why? How come when we pray in other tongues, He says, howbeit we speak mysteries? The Bible talks about there's mysteries hidden in God for the body. A mystery is hidden only to be revealed. God's not mysterious. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His will all over the Bible. I mean, there's a scripture that says, knowing the will of God, redeeming the times, for the days are evil. Well, His Word reveals His will, doesn't He? His Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with the truth, doesn't He? He is the Holy Spirit of truth, the Bible says in John. See, the things are hidden. Things have been hidden from the church. Things have been hidden from the devil. The Bible said, had the devil had known, or the principalities and powers had known what? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was a mystery. Because see, what happened was, we all know the story pretty much, probably. So God's not mysterious. Don't ever say that again. A mystery means something you don't know. Now, do I know everything about God? No, I don't. But it's not supposed to stay a mystery to me, right? The Bible says He's going to reveal Himself by His Spirit. If I follow Him and I keep His commandments, what is that, John 14 or 15? That if we love Him and we keep His commandments, He'll come and make Himself manifest, clearly known to us? What's that mean? Not to everybody. To those that love Him and to those that keep His commandments, you will see Him. You will know Him. He will reveal Himself to us, the Bible says. Now, in the beginning, we know that Adam sinned, right? And all mankind was in Adam because all the seed of mankind God had placed in Adam. Women do not have seed. And I'm not going to get on all of that again. But women do not have seed. Men have seed. And Adam was the first man created, so therefore every mankind was on the inside of Adam. And when Adam sinned, all mankind sinned. Ain't that what it said? What is that, Romans 5 or 6? I think it's Romans 5. That says, because of one man's sin, all men were born into sin. But because of one man's righteousness, Jesus Christ, all men can be born into righteousness. That's how we got into this place. Well, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve had the glory of God. Now, when you look up the word glory, I mean, it's hard to describe the word glory. It talks about weighty. It talks about heavy. Whenever, I believe it was Abraham, said, God, show me your glory. He put him in the cleft of the rock, and he told him, said, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. So we know that God's goodness is a part of His glory. Then we see the manifestation. We've read it in the Bible several times now. But the manifestation or the revealings for something in the natural that you can see was also whenever the children of Israel, they had a cloud by day and a fire by night. That was the very presence, the glory of God Himself, so that they could see it. Why? They couldn't see anything in their spirit. They was not born again. And until you're born again, the Bible says you are dead. We get born again and then we become alive to Christ, alive unto God. Right? Well, anyway, because all mankind sinned, mankind lost the glory. What's that mean? All the power that Adam had been given. Y'all remember the garden, right? You got to go all the way back to the beginning. What did Adam have? He had the glory of God. He had the splendor of God. He had the majesty of God. God gave him power. God gave him the power to bless. Right? He said, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. In other words, pronounce the blessing all upon the earth. Ain't that right? He lost it. He used to have the power to bless, but he lost it. Then came in the curse, and then the earth began to produce thorns and thistles. And no longer could he pronounce the blessing and it prosper. Now he had to work. Y'all can blame Adam, Johnny. Just kidding. Then he had to work that by his labor and his toil, the earth would produce for him. Y'all remember all of that, right? The reason why Jesus came is not just for us to be born again so we can go to heaven, or even that we can have a good life here in the earth. The Bible talks about how that it was Jesus Christ would bring many sons to glory. Jesus Christ came, endured the cross and everything that he went through, died, buried, raised from the dead, so that now the glory could be restored to all mankind. That was the mystery, because see, the devil in the garden, you can just see him. What are you going to do now, God? I've tempted your man and he's lost your glory. He's lost your manifested presence. He's lost the blessing. What are you going to do now? But in God, for all ages, in God, before the foundation of the world, the Bible says Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So in God was hidden that mystery, Johnny, of what he was going to do. And he didn't answer the devil. He just showed him when it got time. And the devil played right into his hands, because the Bible says in Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to put everything on Jesus so he didn't have to put it on us. So therefore, he could be separated from him, so therefore we could be brought back to him. And we could have the glory once again. All the power, all the authority, all the dominion, all the goodness, all the blessing. If we really believed it, we would be way more excited. Brother Brad read the scripture Wednesday night that the whole earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. You realize that's what's happening? It's like, I can't read the Bible without seeing the glory, Johnny. Over in Ephesians, I see where he's the Father of all glory, that we would be strengthened by his power and his might, by his glory. Doesn't say by him, it says by his glory. His glory is the very essence of God himself. When you sense his presence, you sense his glory. Oh. And so therefore, it was the plan and the mystery of God that Jesus be crucified. So therefore, that he would take the penalty of all mankind's sin. Bear the burden, right? Bear the weight of that. And be raised unto glory and be seated on the right hand of God. So therefore, that me and you could be born again and have the glory restored. See, the whole thing has always been about God bringing mankind back to the original place that he put him. Some would say you shouldn't bring God down to your level. I didn't. He raised us up to his. You can't bring him down. He raised us up through Christ Jesus. Amen? So I want to read you something. Listen, I'm going to tell you God's prophetic timeline this morning that we're on. Did you hear what I said? His prophetic timeline. God always has prophets in the earth that tells things. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach lest he be sent? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here in Isaiah chapter 60, I'm going to read verse 2 first, and then I'll go back to verse 1. This is where we're at right now. He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now, y'all remember last week we got into this just a little bit about darkness. The Bible says God's kingdom is the kingdom of light. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, right? He says, how can Christ have fellowship with Belial? How can light have fellowship with darkness? They cannot. They're antagonistic to one another. Because God is light, the Bible says, and I believe it's 1 John 1:8. That God is light. Well, we know that if God is light, Satan is darkness. And darkness is his kingdom. Now, look, we read the scripture over there in Ephesians chapter 6 where it talked about how the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness, kingdom of Satan, darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, right? In Ephesians 6. That's what he's talking about here. He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the kingdom of darkness. He says, and gross darkness the people. We have seen that. That, I mean, we have seen that for, I don't know, 5-6 years now. Darkness just increasing. And I read the scripture last week where it said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who the god of this world, which we know this world's system to be Satan, right, has blinded their hearts and minds. How many knows when you're in the dark, you can't see? Whether you're in the natural, you can't see spiritually. Oh, y'all just got quiet about that one. How come? Somebody ever been telling you something and you just don't get it? You're just not getting it? And they keep on talking and all of a sudden it's like, ping! And you're like, I got it! I see it! What happened? We call it the light. All of a sudden the light came on. The Bible says that He would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Right? What's that mean? Bring light to dispel and disperse the darkness. So He talked about because the god of this world has blinded the hearts and minds of the people. He says here, on the timeline that we're in right now, He says darkness is going to cover the earth. He says, and gross, or you could say, an abundant darkness cover the people. Oh, but we got good news. He goes on and He says, but the Lord, He says, shall arise upon thee, talking about the church, the body of Christ. And His glory, remember what I told you glory is? All God's power, all God's dominion. Everything that He gave Adam in the garden, because he had the glory. Right? The Bible says all mankind have sinned and fallen short of what? Doesn't say righteousness or nothing. It says the glory of God. How many knows all men that will accept Christ is coming back to the glory? But He says here, He says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. How many knows He's coming up and rising upon us and in us and through us? And His glory shall be seen upon thee. Now verse 1, He says, arise, shine. He says, for thy light is come. Remember Brother Brad read the scripture about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? Light. Our knowledge of it, our understanding of it. He says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. He says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This is the timeline that we're in right now. There is coming a Jesus revolution like this world has never seen. And you can look it up. I didn't say a revival. I said a revolution. It is, I believe with all of my heart, it is the last outpouring of God's Spirit before we are out of here. And listen, if you've been trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, you can forget it because he can't be revealed till we leave. Read your Bible. Until the restrainer that restrains is gone. And the Bible says we are the church, the body of Christ, are the restrainer of evil. But once we're out of here he comes. He will be revealed. But anyway, that's a side note. Now, he says, arise and shine, for our light has come. The revelation, the illumination of who we are. What we've been given. That power. The Bible says Christ. Listen, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus was the man. Christ was the anointed one in His anointing. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus. The Christ, the anointed one in His anointing, right, with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. We have that same anointing in us. Jesus stood up in the synagogue when His time came and He read from, the Bible says, from the book of Isaiah. And He turned over there and I believe it was Isaiah 61. Let me just read that. Let's just go right here. I think it's Isaiah 61. Yeah, it is. This is what he read from when he was sitting in the synagogue. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Beth don't have this, so it might not be on the screen a big way. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I'm telling you this morning, if you've been born again, He's upon you too. That same Spirit the Bible says in the book of Romans that raised Christ from the dead abides. He lives, He dwells in me and you. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The Bible says he closed the scroll and he sat down. The Bible, Jesus himself said great things he did. He said, but greater things you'll do, body of Christ. I didn't say it, he said it. Therefore, we need to be believing that and receiving that. Because if he said it, we will. Why? Because he has anointed us to. Because darkness is covering the earth and it's covering the people. But there's coming a Jesus revolution. That Isaiah 60 that we just got through reading over there. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. We shine bright. We disperse and dispel and overcome the darkness everywhere we go. The Bible says that we would take up serpents. Serpents, listen to me. Where he talks about taking up serpents there does not mean you get in a church service and you get your rattlesnake and you pick it up. That is carnal, fleshly. There's no spirit to that whatsoever. What he's talking about, now the serpent was mentioned very, you got to remember the law of first mention. Where's he mentioned first? In the garden, right? It was the vehicle for the devil to use to get here in the earth to talk to the woman, right? Okay, when the Bible says there in Mark 16 and 17, it says, and we'll take up serpents, he's talking about you take up the devil everywhere you find him in whatever vehicle he's trying to use. And we do that. But we can't be doing it some little weak, milky, weak, milquetoast church. And we're not. Let's go on here. Let's see. Well, I'm just going to quote it to you. The Bible talks about in Ephesians, because I don't want to run out of time. But the Bible, well, let me just go over there. Maybe I can read it pretty quick. Here in Ephesians 5. He talks about, when he starts out, he's talking about being followers of God. Then he begins to talk about fornication and all this other stuff, the things we're not supposed to be doing or involved in. But when we pick it up here in verse 7, he says, be not ye therefore partakers with them, talking about those of the darkness. He says, be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. He goes on down, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, I told you darkness is the kingdom of darkness, right? The kingdom of Satan. He says, don't have no unfruitful works, fellowship with them. He says, but rather reprove them. He talks about it's a shame. And then verse 13, he says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In other words, they're revealed. The cover's taken off. You can see it. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. He says, for the days are evil. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. So we were darkness. And if you ain't been born again, you're still darkness. See, I think a lot of times in ministering and preaching the gospel, we've left the gospel out of the gospel. Because the gospel, the Bible says, is good news. Well, how can I know the good news if I don't know the bad news? Bad news is you was born into sin according to the Scripture because all mankind sin because they were in Adam. You didn't have to do anything good or bad. The Bible says all men were born into sin. So therefore, you are, if you've not been born again, you are a sinner. And according to John 3, your home is hell. Oh, sister, you just offended me. Well, that's because you're darkness and I'm light, and I'm telling you the light, the truth of the light. Because we was all sinners. Right? And we have to be born again. And the gospel is the good news that we can. That Jesus Christ has made a way that no matter what we was, no matter what we've done or where we've been or anything else, it can be forgiven. And we can be washed clean by the blood of Christ. Right? And when we accept that sacrifice, we can be born again. The Bible says not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Amen? So that's the good news, that I was a sinner, or that I am a sinner, but I don't have to be a sinner anymore, right? I can accept that sacrifice, and I can be that new creation. So when people say, remember when you did so-and-so, I say, no, I didn't. I never did that. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. He, she was darkness, but I'm light. He said, therefore, walk as children of the light. Live your lives as children of the light. But here in 2 Corinthians, let me get over there. I'm going to read 7 through 15 in the King James and then 16 through 18 in the Amplified. He says, excuse me. And he's talking about here the Old Testament. He's talking about the law that was given unto Moses, how it had glory. He says, but if the ministration of death written and graven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was but to be done away with. Now he had been in the presence and the glory of God, and God had given him the law, and there was so much of the glory of God in his face shine. But he put a veil over it. Why? Because that was not the glory that God wanted us to see. Because, see, we got to bear the same image of the glory. And it was not that that God wanted us to bear the image of. And that's what he's talking about. He put a veil on his face. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth, which talking about Christ. He says, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. We know the law's been done away with, right? He says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. 16 in the Amplified. But whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. The blindness. And that veil that you cannot see. He says, is stripped off and taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. And all of us, he's talking about the ones that has come to repentance, right? And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, since the beginning of time, we know, according to Scripture, in the beginning that God said, let us make man in our own image, right? And he was speaking to the Son and to the Holy Ghost and about himself. So the Bible says that he made man in his very own image. In the image and likeness of God, he made mankind. From the beginning, the thing that the devil has done is to distort, change, mar that image. Jesus came that we would bear the same image, Johnny. That when I look at you, I see Jesus. I'm not talking about your hair or your skin or your eye color. All that's carnal. He's talking about that we would bear that image that was from the beginning. That very same image. Do you understand that's exactly, this has come down so far and the devil has went along so long with this. This is the very reason he wants the kids to mutilate themselves. But we're going to bear that image, Johnny. But notice what he says there, that we would bear the same image. That's why he wants you to sin. That because of the condemnation that it'll do to you. Because do you understand it's going to take faith to bear this image? He said here we're going to have to be, listen, you need to be reading your Bible. I don't care who you are, you need to be reading your Bible. And this word can only be interpretation, get the interpretation by the power of the Holy Ghost. It can't be discerned by the natural man. That's where you get all this bunch of foolishness from, that he comes forth. But we are to bear the image of the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have the same glory, same power, same authority. Now see, that takes mind renewal for me, Sandy. But you know, nonetheless, it's still the truth according to the Word of God. And we are going to do it. Let's look here at Ephesians 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. Thank you, God, that you love us just like you love Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we love the brethren, Lord, just like you love us, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't hear no amen on that one. I'm sure y'all said it silently in your heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I got this in the King James. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That would be talking like here. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And every wife in here said, amen, yes, I do. Don't make us camp on here because I got 15 minutes. You're not going to bear the image of Christ in the glory without this. You cannot. You will not. I cannot. I will not. Because this whole thing here, when we get down to the end of it, he said, I'm talking about the mystery concerning Christ and the church. The marriage relationship is supposed to be just as Christ and the church. That's why the man is supposed to love the wife as Christ loves the church. He does not dominate the church. Y'all come on. He don't dominate her. He tells her and then he gives you a choice. You do it or you don't. I tell you, I correct you because I love you. Ain't that what the Bible says? God loves, corrects those that he loves because he wants us free. But the devil tells us whatever we want to do, our rebellion, our rising up, our independence of our husbands is freedom. That's a lie. The woman, the Bible says in the beginning, was created for the man. Not to rule over him, not to dominate him, and not to be independent of him, but to complement him, to be a helpmate to him. And the man is supposed to take care of his wife and his family, just as Christ does the church. Doesn't he supply every need that we have? Then you lazy bunch of men, you better get to work. I ain't talking to y'all. Y'all got to remember, we're all over the world. And I'm telling you right now, we got a bunch of lazy men. Won't work, won't provide for their families. The wife is working while the man sits home gaming, eating his donuts, watching Days of Our Lives, or whatever the crap he does. You are not going to bear the image of Christ with that. Let me quit meddling. Keep going on here. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Because listen, submission can't be made, you do it. Submission in itself is, I do not agree with you whatsoever, but I humble myself and I place myself under your word of what you say, your authority. Right? You can't make me humble myself. And usually if you try to make me, you're going to get one more bigger fight. But now I'm coming way down from that, Johnny. Scotty gets to tell me something now. You didn't say amen. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I can't leave this alone. Let me tell you something. I don't care, woman, if you work and you make your own money, don't let that cause you to become independent of your husband. God, don't make me say it. And if you can't do that, you go to work and you bring your paycheck and you put it at your husband's feet and say whatever you want to do with it. Woo, that went over real good. Y'all feel that? I can feel hot burning. Because see, that's what the devil does, Johnny. Mar the image. Mar the image of what the woman is supposed to be and what she's supposed to do. Mar the image of what the man is supposed to be and what the man is supposed to do. And we're still bearing some of the stuff from the 60s and the 70s, from that women's lib crap, which was actually bondage, where they burned their bras and went to work and started doing all this stuff independent from the man. We're not going to do it in this church. We're going to work on ourselves. Right? Why? We want to bear the image of the Christ. He submits to the Father. He never rose up against the Father. The church is never supposed to rise up against the Christ. And I'm enjoying being dependent on my husband, Johnny. I got the mail out of the mailbox the other day, and it was the light bill. I said, here you go, Daddy. You got mail. There's benefits, ladies. He said, it ain't my mail. I said, oh, yes, it is, Daddy. It's your mail. Why? That's not my job. That's his job. My job's to help him, not take care of him. His job's to take care of me. Right? So now I like submission. When you learn the real way, it's always God's all free. God's way is always freedom. It always blesses when it's right. Now here, let's see here. For the husband is the head of the wife, the leader, right? Not the boss. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Do you see the comparison? And he is the Savior of the body. So is the husband. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You self-sacrifice, men. You don't let the wife do all the praying. You don't let the wife make all the decisions. You're wrong. She can be involved in them. Y'all should talk to each other. If I pray, you know, and find out what's God speaking to. Because, I mean, we're very helpful. That's our job. We're helpful. But men, don't let the wife do all your praying and make decisions. Why? You are the leader and you will be held accountable before God for what you led your family to do or to be. He goes on here. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, what? A glorious church, one that is filled and restored back to her glory. This is the mystery of Christ in the church. He goes on and he says here, that he might present, well, I read that one, didn't, no, let me read the whole thing. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But there's coming a Jesus revelation to the body of Christ, to this world, actually. I didn't say a revival. A revival brings back to life something that has died or something that is on the brink of dying. A revolution changes things. You look up the word revolution and it talks about it'll change a culture, Sandy. And God knows we need it. It'll change the economics. And God knows we need it. It'll change the hearts and minds of people. It'll change their morality. And that is actually what's coming here into the earth, because this is the last outpouring of the Spirit of God. And we're out of here. Glory to God. I can't hardly wait. But at the same time, I'm torn. Because Jesus said, occupy till I come. And we've got hundreds of thousands of people that their hearts and their minds is blinded by the devil. So we got to get on our A game, and we got to get on it now. It's not always witnessing to people or talking to people. Sometimes it's in prayer. The Bible said, we read the scripture a few weeks ago or whatever, where it talks about how that the church, whatever the church binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever the church looses on earth will be loosed. We need to be praying over our schools. I pray over this school at Bluntsville at least 5 days a week, every week. I pray for Aubrey and Aiden. I pray for all the kids. I pray for all the teachers, the faculties, the staff, the janitors, everybody over there, that God would keep them safe from all harm and evil, spirit, soul, and body. I bind every principality. I cancel every assignment and plan of Satan that he would try to come in there and kill, steal, and destroy. Why? I have authority. You have authority, but what are you doing with it? Are you binding the enemy? Are you taking up the serpents? Or are we praying to God that God would do something about it? Well, that's not going to happen. Because he didn't say pray to God that God would move the mountain. He didn't say pray to God that God would remove the devils. He said, I gave you all power and authority over the devil, right? So that means we got to rise up, quit praying God would do something about it, and we got to take authority, and we got to do something about it, because God is going to hold the church responsible for a lot of what happens in the earth. Whew! Glory to God. I can't say. Oh, I got to get on this. I got a few minutes left here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in, gosh, I don't want to read all that. Well, I'm going to have to. King James Version, he said, and this is Paul talking, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in such trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's not what we need today. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. He says, but in the power of God. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or we would say mature, full age. He says, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, we know who he's talking about, that come to naught or nothing. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I told you the mystery from the beginning, right? He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Most people stop right there. Keep reading. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except, or save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, right? Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it. He says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then he goes on and he says, but the natural man, or you could say the carnal man, he don't receive them, he can't see them, he can't understand them. They are only spiritually discerned. But notice what he says there. He talks about the glory. And he says, I hadn't seen it. Ear hadn't heard it. But how'd you get it, Samantha? By the Spirit of God Himself on the inside of you. Now, I got to say this right before I close. All of that about Charlie Kirk, you can see prophetic signs, and I don't have time to get into a lot of it. The name of his ministry is Turning Point. Oh. Can y'all see it? They shot him, and man, did you see a turning point, and you're still seeing it. And it's not going to stop. Because in the last days, God said it's going to be our sons and our daughters that prophesy, write dreams, and all this stuff. God's going to use the young people. But there has been kicked off a prophetic timeline in God's kingdom that this has now started. Now, it's going to be up to us whether we're in it, whether we see these things or we hear these things. And all that crap about, I don't believe you have to be a good Christian, go to church to be a good Christian, doctrines of devils. Who's he say he's coming back for? He didn't say Tammy so-and-so on street so-and-so. He said the church. Listen, you can think you're the brightest bub in the box as long as you stay in your own box. But once you get out of your box and you get in the box with the rest of us, you see you need us. Why? The Bible says he gave the fivefold ministry for the full equipping of the saints to equip us. All five of those are needed. And listen, Jensen Franklin ain't at your house. He more than likely ain't going to be there to correct you, to help you, or anything else. Now, the Spirit of God can use him like a vitamin. But if you're going to have this stuff revealed to you, then we got to be obeying him, right? We need one another, he said. He works through one another. I got to stop because actually the time is up. Scotty will be getting on me. Does anybody have anything quick?